Establish a quorum. Vice Chair Lee. Alderman LaSpada. Alderman Dow. Alderman Robinson. Alderman Yancey. Alderman Mitchell. Alderman Harris. Alderman Ramirez. Alderman Quinn. Alderman Lopez. Alderman Moore. Alderman O'Shea. Alderman Mosley. Alderman Rodriguez.
Present.
We'll come back to you. Alderman Scott. Alderman Cicho Lopez. Alderman Burnett. Alderman Taliaferro. Alderman Cardona. Alderman Rodriguez Sanchez. Alderman Conway. Alderman Ramirez Rosa. Alderman Villegas. Alderman Mitz. Alderman Esposito. Alderman Nugent. Alderman Vasquez. Alderman Napolitano. Alderman Riley. Alderman Knudsen. Alderman Martin. Alderman Hatton. Alderman Silverstein. Alderman Yancey's present. Alderman Irvin is present. Did I miss anyone? Are you hiding? Alderman Nugent, present. Okay, we have 17 members present for a quorum. Also, we have also Alderman Cicho Lopez is present. Anyone else I miss? Any non-committee members? Okay. We have a few that are joining us remotely. Alderman Rodriguez has requested participation. Alderman Scott has requested participation. Alderman Rodriguez Sanchez has requested participation. Alderman Ramirez Rosa has requested participation.
Alderman Mitz requested participation.
Alderman Mitz?
Yes.
Alderman Mitz requested. I saw Alderman Robinson, I thought. Okay. Okay. I got him there. Good. Okay. With those I've just mentioned, Rodriguez Scott, Rodriguez Sanchez, Ramirez Rosa, and Mitch, is there a motion to accept participation under Rule 59? So moved by Alderman Dow. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Any opposed? Any opinion of the chairs? Ayes have it. And Alderman Rodriguez Scott, Rodriguez Sanchez, Ramirez Rosa, and Mitz are added to the quorum roll call. Next, we'll have public comment. Public comment, 3 minutes per person. First up, we'll have George Blakemore. Mr. Blakemore.
Thank you.
You may begin.
Thank you very much. I'm still... can't find out about Rule 45. You have to educate the people to that rule. When was it passed? And when did it go to Rules Committee? And also, the Public Health Commission. Is she here today? Well, if you were present, could you raise your hand? Well, I want to make it very clear. When the mayor appoints you these different positions, all the appointed positions. You do not work for Mayor Johnson. You work for the citizens of the city of Chicago, and your check comes from the citizens. So your allegiance is not to the mayor. You're a public servant, and your allegiance is to serve the public. And the same thing is going on today, these side conversations. You see Mr. Moore over here, but it's your job as chairman, to have order. And you should have something you should hit on it. Out of here. And these two gentlemen, I don't know if I should call them gentlemen or what, talking to each other. When the public come up, and you're a public servant, all eyes and focus should be on the public. All eyes and focus should be on the public. And when you ignore the public, you turn around and talk and scream and grin and get up and look around. When you turn your back to them, you know what you tell them? I'm doing it because you are doing it. You bring out the ugliness in me because I'm responding to your action, your personality. So maybe I should go above this and ignore this. I can't do it. It has to stop. Once you have a public speaker, everything should be focused on the public. And if you don't want to hear from the public, play like you do. Just turn around, look at them, and your mind can just wander everywhere. But don't ever do this. Don't ever do this. And your job, all of y'all chairmen, your job is to hear. Be seated. Because you are public servants. You don't serve the Democratic Party. You don't serve the Republican.
No. Hey, it's all good. Thank you, Mr. Blakemore. Next, we'll have Jessica Jackson, followed by Natasha Gray.
Okay. So, okay. Anyway, Vasquez. So yesterday was Blakemore's trial, another court date. And apparently, Alderman Vasquez showed up. And apparently, you felt like you needed to take it upon yourself to go to other black people that were there and tell them about how Sergeant at Arms Starks has it out for me. Oh no, don't look surprised because they not lying. Don't look surprised because you got that divide and conquer spirit. You've been doing it since we've been coming down here. And I'm telling you, to get out of our black business and mind your Hispanic alderman business, which would be getting Rosa out of his seat. Why don't you mind that business? Because he's the one who broke the rules and disrespected the rights of every citizen in the city of Chicago when he did that with that sanctuary city vote. That would be your business. Not to say anything about me, because I sit in that seat all the time. And anything you want to say to me, you come say it to me. Not to no youngins, like that's supposed to do something. Starks is right here. He's here all the time. And he's not going to do nothing to me because I'm a law-abiding citizen. He's going to do his job like what he does. And it's going to stay right there. And you need to stop instigating, stop causing division, and mind your business. Go get them Hispanic women off the corner over there on State of Randolph that's out there begging with their kids. That would be your Hispanic alderman business. Go mind it, and you leave me alone, and I'm gonna sit right there, and anything you got to say to me, you come say it.
Thank you, Ms. Jackson. Before we continue, I want to recognize Alderman O'Shea and Alderman Cardona for the purposes of quorum. Ms. Gray, you may proceed, followed by Mr. Samir.
Good morning. I would like to take this time to speak on what Blakemore spoke up here. I know that you all are frustrated, not just with him, but with us. But you all, once again, are public servants, as myself, I'm a public servant as well. When people get up here to speak, you should be at attention. Whatever business you have to attend to before we get up here to speak, you should have already done that already. Okay? It should not be fused with the time that that you're supposed to be paying attention to your constituents. Okay? I understand that we all are human. We all have emotions. But you have to learn to leave your emotions out of it. You cannot be upset coming here with your emotions because you are facing opposition. You are in a place of power. You are in your seats because you are in a place of power. Okay? And it is your duty to serve your constituents and not abuse that power. So how dare you look, like he said, look all around. That is disgusting to sit and watch people that are over the lives of everyone here in Chicago. You are over the lives of the people that reside here. But instead of listening to their concerns, you look away. You, like you said, you're doing other things. I stand with Mr. Blakemore because you know why? I may be 40 years old. He's double my age, but I know that he's seen a lot. And I respect his effort. You may not like his method, but you have to understand his method is a result of his frustration with the ongoing administrations we've had here. And I know that because you're in a position of privilege, you have, even if you were, you know, maybe one of the impoverished people at some point in time in your life here, okay? But now you have disconnected yourself from the reality of the majority of the people here, okay? But he still feels that. He witnesses it every day. He comes in here and he sees how you all do business. You're not going to be able to satisfy everybody, and we understand that. But know where your priorities should lie, because people are watching you. Mr. Blakemore, not the one you got to, y'all dragging him through court. He's not the one you got to worry about. You're trying to make his time hard, constantly continuing this case when you could just drop it. He didn't hurt anybody. You just getting tired of listening to him. You're trying to make things hard for him, but he's not the one you got to worry about. My generation really is not the one you got to worry about. You got to worry about the ones that when they wake up and realize what's going on here, the National Guard ain't even going to be the answer, okay? They're going to be wanting a result to dropping bombs once these kids get truly frustrated with what's going on. And you have their elders here trying to speak up for their peace, but.
Thank you, ma'am. Next, we'll have our final speaker, Taiwan Sims. I'm sorry, I mispronounced your name earlier.
I guess y'all just got an ear full. But what I want to speak about is the amendment of, what was it? Well, I'll just speak to it. The socioeconomically disadvantaged, what is socioeconomically disadvantaged areas? Y'all would consider those Austin, Inglewood, Roseland, predominantly black communities. That's correct. What hopefully this amendment says, so what the amendment says is that hiring information to, what is it, social disadvantaged areas, establishing hiring preferences. What are those hiring preferences going to be? And who is going to be considered when those hiring preferences do take place? Who will be the preferred workforce then? Because workforce has been the topic of discussion for 6 years now. And so then we have the pandemic. And then after that, we have 2 years later, we see that socioeconomically, these disadvantaged areas are still, we like bombed out and depleted right now. That's where we at. If y'all rode rails or ride the public trains, y'all see that there are, 16, 5, 6 kids, young teenagers, young adults, all black. I just took pictures of like four young adults sleep on the L. And we see, and I know this is probably disturbing when you get on the L, you got people hanging around, smoking reefer and whatnot, because they don't have anything to do. And right now, everybody up in arms about the violence in the city. I'm a product of that, 90s. But before that, we had resources. We had after-school programs. We had all these things that the budget can write into it, that the budget wrote out. And so comes this. Where y'all see children, that's they are, our young children. These are our kids, the future of this city. Running around this city, basically tearing it up now because we have no focus. They have no focus economically. You bleed the people out by taking away the economics, by taking the money away from them, by taking the resources away from them. You push them out. You murder them, basically. So I want to know, like, this right here, that right there should be the topic of discussion for today. The disadvantage. This people right here, I don't get it. I'm 43 years in this, and I'm not a simple man. I see a bunch of black individuals right here. I see a bunch of smart individuals over here that's not black. And I know y'all work those budgets. And I know y'all see what's happening in this city because we got the crime watch, everybody exploiting it because everybody want to push this narrative that we are going to shit, forgive me, to nothing. But that's not the narrative and it's not a truth. And I'm prayerfully that you all will work towards making it better.
Thank you, Mr. Sims, for your comment. We want to add Alderman Quinn and Alderman for the quorum roll call and acknowledge the presence of Alderman Coleman, who's a non-member of the committee. To your point, Mr. Sims, that item that we just on the agenda will actually be held in recess. We're going to come back and deal with that on a later date. So moving forward, the committee will now vote to approve the monthly Rule 45 report for the month of February, which was transmitted electronically to all members. Can I get a motion to accept that? So move, Alderman Yancey. All in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? Being the chairs, the ayes have it. We're actually going to go to item number two, which is our 925 amendment. On item number two, there's been a substitute proposed and sent around all members of the committee. Do I have a motion to accept the substitute? So moved by Alderman LaSpada. All in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? Being the chairs, the ayes have it. The substitute is now before us. I'm going to have Matt Schmitz, who is our managing deputy budget director, to provide the narrative for the 925 amendment.
My name is Matthew Schmitz. I'm the Managing Deputy Budget Director for the City of Chicago. I'm here today to request an appropriation of an additional $4,107,769 federal COVID-19 relief dollars for the City of Chicago. The planned use for those dollars is as following. $510,000 additional dollars for the City of Chicago's Department of Public Health from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services to help supplement funding for the U.S. Public Health Pathogens Genomic Center of Excellence Program. The remaining funds, the $3,597,769 additional dollars, are also going to the Department of Public Health from the United States Department of Health and Human Services to help supplement funding for their building epidemiology and health IT capacity program. I am available now up here with staff from the health department to answer any questions that you might have.
Any questions on the amendment? Alderman Lee. Alderman Conway.
Thank you, Chairman. Can we talk a little bit more in detail about what the building epidemiology and health IT capacity entails? Because there's looks like two items here for that.
Hello, Elise Kittner, Project Administrator at CDPH. There are two projects in that section. It's our genomic sequencing work with Rush University Medical Center, as well as our wastewater surveillance work with University of Illinois Chicago and Discovery Partners Institute.
I was hoping you were going to tell me there was something more on tracing for infectious diseases, but we'll talk about that at a later time. Thank you. That's all I've got right now, Chairman.
Thank you, Vice Chair. Alderman Conway.
Appreciation for coming here to allocate $4.1 million of COVID-19 money for this project. It seems like a worthy use of funds. I of course wish the mayor's office would have come to us when they allocated $95 million. I hope we've proven today that we don't bite. $4.1 million. I'm happy to support this. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Thank you, Alderman Conway. Chairman Dow?
Just a quick question on the infectious disease laboratories. Can you tell me how many we have and where they're located?
CDPH supports a sequencing laboratory at Rush University Medical Center.
That's the only one that this is? Are there others?
Are there others?
Infectious disease laboratories that serve the city of Chicago.
She's asking not just specifically on the sequencing, but just laboratories in general that deal with infectious disease matters that impact or are in the city of Chicago.
Sure, thank you for that. We utilize the Illinois Department of Public Health laboratories for diagnostic testing.
And there's how many of those in the city of Chicago?
In the city of Chicago, there is one branch of IDPH laboratories.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions? Okay. Any other questions on the 925? Seeing none, is there a motion to accept the amendment? So move, Alderman Dow. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Any opposed? Any opinion of the chairs? The ayes have it. The motion passes and this ordinance is approved. The matter will be reported out at the next regular meeting of the City Council on March 20th. Thank you, budgeteers. Next item on the agenda, we're going to go back to item number one, is the appointment of Julie Hernandez Tomlin as Commissioner of the Department of Fleet and Facility Management. Ms. Hernandez, come on down. Welcome, I should say welcome back. Welcome back. If you would like, you please feel free to give your opening statement followed by a Q&A from members of the committee.
Please. Good morning. I'm Julie Hernandez Tomlin. Good morning, Chairman Irvin, Vice Chairwoman Lee, and members of the Committee on Budget and Government Operations. It is with great pleasure that I'm here before you today. I have worked with most of you in the past and look forward to continuing our working relationships, and I am looking forward to working with those that I am just meeting for the first time. I am honored to have this opportunity to serve the City of Chicago. I am a very proud lifelong Chicagoan with over 34 years of service in government. I come from a long line of family who has dedicated their lives to public service, including my grandmother, the late Irene C. Hernandez, the first Latina elected official in Cook County and the state of Illinois years ago. I began as a summer intern when I was 17 years old for Cook County. I put myself through college during that time. Then in 1998, I began working at the City of Chicago Sewer Department, later became Water Management. I started as a first level supervisor and was continuously promoted through the ranks over the next 22 years. My most recent tenure was first deputy commissioner at the Department of Water. In this role, I oversaw the day-to-day operations and administration of the entire department. This included managing all of our facilities from our district offices to the water treatment plants and pumping stations. I also managed the entire department's budget and finances, which was over $1 billion, 2,100 employees, 17 trade unions, plus the citywide capital improvement plan. I provided a high level of direction to all senior and managerial staff in developing and implementing department-wide policies, also large-scale projects. I was responsible for every facet of the department, including improving diversity in the workforce and minority participation in contracts. With my extensive experience in public service, I am committed, passionate, and very excited to be able to have a positive impact on our neighborhoods within this city. I look forward to having an ongoing dialogue with all of you as how I, as Commissioner at the Department of Fleet and Facility Management, can better serve your constituents and communities. I am here today to respectfully seek your support for my confirmation as Commissioner of the Department of Fleet and Facility Management. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Before we do that, I want to recognize Alderman Curtis and Alderman Lawson for the record as for their attendance here. Any questions for the commissioner designate? Y'all just full of energy today, I see. Okay, Alderman Napolitano.
Thank you, Chairman. I'd just like to say I could not be happier that you're in this position. Your dedication to detail and responsiveness over the years that I've witnessed is second to none in this building. I think anybody that has worked with you knows this already, but whoever's here that hasn't should know that the only medal that you need to wear up there is your ability to get stuff done, and you've always been able to do that. You are the right person for any job here, and I could not be more proud or could not support this any more than I am. I am so proud of you. I'm happy you're here. I'm happy you're back. I'm happy that you chose to come back because that's a big thing, and that means a lot to us down here because you want things to be better, you want things to work properly, and you want it to have that flawless seam that you bring to the city every time. So I support this, Chairman. I'm so glad you're here. Congratulations. If awarded it, congratulations.
Thank you, Alderman.
Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Thank you, Alderman Napolitano. Also like to recognize Alderman Burnett for the quorum. Next, we'll have Alderman Cardona, followed by Alderman Spezzato.
Thank you, Chairman. Well, welcome back, Julie.
Thank you.
I'm very excited that you're coming back to this role, that was terminated like 4 years ago and then they brought it back. And I'm very, very confident that you are going to be able to do the job that has to be done. I mean, look at your resume. It speaks for itself. Now you know that you're going to, even though you're going to have Fleet, there's a lot of work in Fleet. So I know things are going to get done, and it starts from you. You're a great leader, and I'm glad that the mayor chose you for this position. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Cardona. Alderman Spezzato, followed by Alderman Dow.
Thank you, Chairman. No questions, just a comment. Julie, great to see you back. I know you've done a lot for the city throughout your years and a lot for me in my office at your previous job in water. I don't know how much you're going to be able to help us in AAS, but glad to have you back in the mix. I think it's a great appointment by the mayor, and the mayor 100% has my support, as do you, Julie, and just happy to see you back in the mix of things. So thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Alderman.
Thank you, Alderman. Alderman Dow, followed by Vice Mayor Burnett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to add my voice to the chorus of people welcoming you back, Julie. I am glad that you came back. I think that when you were in the Department of Water Management, you were always accessible and followed attention, as Alderman Napolitano said, to the details of the work. So I look forward to, I know there's a lot of details in Fleet and management, but I wanted to get your sense of what you think your major priorities will be in the department coming in.
Well, right now I've been focusing on the largest bureaus in the department, which are Fleet and facilities. I want to be sure that our fleets are being maintained, repaired in a timely fashion, that the turnaround time is, accessible for CPD and CFD, especially for our emergency response departments, that our facilities are energy efficient and accessible for with ADA compliance. Those are my biggest priorities right now. I've been there 3 weeks, but that's really what I want to focus on. I have a great team that I've just met. They've been wonderful in sharing information, and I think we're going to work very, very well together and be able to accomplish a lot this year.
My other comment is, and not looking for you to comment on this right now, but one of the things that has been coming up through the Committee on Housing and Real Estate has been the pricing of some of the leases that the city's been entering into for some of our departmental operations, and the extent to which you can help us save more money, because sometimes these leases look to be quite exorbitant. That would be something that I would ask you to look into a bit more.
Sure thing. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Chairman Dow, Vice Mayor Burnett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Curtis.
So, of course, we're very excited, Julie. I see you as one of our city hall kids. I know you're older now, but I still recognize you from when you was younger. Knew your grandmother, knew your father, and always appreciated and admired you, not only have being from a lineage of public servants, but also, you know, working in a position and always getting the job done. So, you know, I gave you a big hug when I saw you because I was excited to just know that we have somebody who's going to take care of the business. And I look forward to working with you. I think this is a great appointment by the mayor. I commend him on it, getting no-nonsense people to come back to City Hall. It's a benefit for the city of Chicago. And I know when I saw you, I mentioned something to you, and I'm not sure if it's with your department or not. I mentioned something to the environmental checks on the lots. Is that with you or with the environment?
Yes.
That's with you.
Yes.
So, and what I mentioned to you is that, you know, right now it takes the city planning and housing a long time to sell lots because of the environmental check on them, right? And for what I understand in your department, and I mentioned it to other people in the administration, that there's only one person that deals with that environmental part with checking the lots. Matter of fact, I heard from, had a conversation with the head of NHS because they repair, you know, stuff on houses and stuff as a delegate agency for us. And they were saying that even to repair porches, they got to go through the environmental thing. And they were mentioning to me, there's only one guy in that department that does that. And, you know, I don't know if you had the chance to look at that, but Mr. Chairman, Budget Chairman, I think we need some more people to deal with the environmental part because right now it takes us a long time to be able to relinquish a lot to someone because we're waiting on to see what the... how the soil is before they can do it. So was I correct that there's one person that does that or?
So I did start looking into it. We do have a shortage of staff. We do have a few vacancies. So we are looking to post those positions within the next quarter.
All right.
So you were correct, yes.
Fantastic. So you guys just need to know that environmental park can hold up from selling lots in our ward and or getting someone to build on a lot in our ward because sometimes it takes as long as a year before. And I just give you an example for me. I had a lot that we gave to someone. They won the bid on a lot. We went through community meetings, everything. It took environmental a year. By the time environmental gave them the environmental was done, the lot appraised for more money. And it cost them more money to get the lot now. And they said they didn't want it because the price went up so much over a year's time. And now we got to deal with somebody, got to go all over again to get the lot sold. So it has an adverse effect on our economy and on our wards, especially those of us on the west side who's trying to fill in these vacant lots in our community. So I appreciate you looking into it before you even got sworn in. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Me how good of a commissioner you are and you're going to be. Thank you. I support this 100%.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. That is a good point that you raised in relation to the amount of time it's taken to get environmental clearances on lots. Can we look at the possibility of contracting out that service? Because it seems like we have a bulk of lots that, land is finite. So we have a bulk of lots, and once they're gone, they're gone. It may not necessarily require, long-term, full-time staffing, but a short-term solution to push these lots out, especially those that have primarily been on the large lots, the side block builders that have continuously been on hold because of environmental clearance issues. So that's something that you could look at as far as looking at a contract to get the backlog cleared out. And then as you hire, because I'm sure we're still going to continue to have this challenge, but right now we've got a huge number of lots that need to get out, and this seems to be an impediment to making that happen, which is holding up development in a lot of communities. So we definitely appreciate you taking a look at that as well.
Okay. Alderman Curtis, followed by Alderman Moore.
Thank you, Chairman. Commissioner Julie, I am so glad to see you. I am so proud of the mayor. I'm proud of you for this appointment. I mean, Vice Mayor couldn't have said it better. City Hall kid, I love it. I love to see people that's leading our departments that came up through the ranks, because that's very important. You have a huge task before you now. I know the fleet management is gonna be a lot different from Park District or the water department. You have a lot of old facilities that you're gonna have to, that you'll be dealing with. And I'm kind of anxious to see what happened to those and what the plan is. Also, no matter where I go, and I know this will be an issue that's gonna come up quite frequent, is I don't care where I go in the city, I'm listening to people talk about our garbage truck fleets and how it's leaking like crazy in the alleys. So I'm looking forward to working with you. I know that you are the person for this job. I have no doubt in my mind. Congratulations. And I definitely support this appointment. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Alderman. Thank you, Alderman Curtis. Alderman Moore, you want to pass on?
I'm going to pass.
Okay, Alderman Moore, followed by Alderman Vasquez.
Thank you, Chairman. Definitely, first of all, I want to commend the mayor for making this great appointment. Julie, I appreciate you for accepting. When you're being a public servant and when you're in this leadership role, it's challenging because you have to deal with a lot of different personalities, a lot of different aldermen, but also the administration itself. And if no one else can handle it, I know you are a person that can handle it. One thing I appreciate about you is that you're responsive to the electeds, you know, when they reach out and when they need something. So I look forward to continuing to work in that capacity. Alderman Burnett, I'm not even gonna belabor the point, but to let you know how important it is. It was part of my question too, is the vacant lot issue. And so as you can hear, it's causing all of us an issue. And so if we can get that, you know, corrected, which they're saying you're starting to work on it, I truly appreciate that. Can you talk about the vacancies that you do have and particular vacancies and how many?
Sure. So the ones that I was focusing on immediately are our trades. First of all, our staff is 90% trade positions. We have 23 different unions that work for us, which is even larger than the water department. What I was going to focus on after talks with my deputies was our fleet, auto machinists, and we have 33 vacancies for mm-hmm. auto machinists. So what I'd like to start doing, and that's one of the top most vacancies that we have right now, but what I'd like to start doing, Alderman, is start talking to the unions. We did this at Water, of how to develop some type of apprentice program with different unions. Water, we did it with our laborers, our 1092 laborers, where they start off as apprentices and they graduate to full-fledged laborers. If we can reach the young, the 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds, not sure what they want to do, they don't want to go to college, they want to go to trade school, they want to be in a union. I'd love to work with DHR, budget, and the unions to see how we can put some type of programs together to teach the young and get them interested in the trades, because those are hard to fill positions, especially for the residents of the city of Chicago. There's not a lot of people who live in the city with these with this background. But that's just one example.
Right. And so with that said, can you provide through the chair all 23 of those different unions.
Yes.
And then the number of vacancies you have within each of, you know, the trades. And if you can provide that through the chair. I know you mentioned the 33, and you probably don't have it right now in front of you to list all of them, and I wouldn't want you to just say it all out anyway. But if you could provide it through the chair, that'd be very helpful.
Will do. Thank you.
And then my final question is has to do with, I guess, the police cars. You guys manage those as well, right?
Yes, we do.
Okay. And so one of the things that I'm hearing out there, not only in terms of the shortage of cars from a purchase standpoint, but also the cars that are down and the turnaround time to getting those back online. Can you speak more to that? And, you know, about if you know now, if you don't know, provide it through the chair, about how many cars do we have down right now? And what is the turnaround time to getting these cars back online?
So right now, I do know that we are always in conversations with CPD as well as CFD, Fire Department, about their vehicles. Deputy Commissioner Mark Chapoulis here is from our Fleet Bureau. He could probably give you the exact number off the top of his head. However, I do want to stress that I am going to continue these conversations with the Police Department and as well as the Fire Department. I understand how important it is to turn around these vehicles as quickly as possible. I could sit up here and give you reasons why vacancies, you know, shortage of equipment, shortage of, you know, vehicles in general. But my goal will be to lessen that time. And if Mark, do you have the exact number of what is down?
As of yesterday, we had
300. Hold on 1 second. Could you introduce yourself for the record, please?
Sure.
Matter of fact, hold on one more thing. And Commissioner, could you also introduce the other members in the box as well?
Yes. So this is Mark Chapoulis, my deputy commissioner over Fleet. Next to him is Glenn Cross, managing deputy for the department. Next to Glenn is Michelle Woods. She's my deputy commissioner over asset management. And where's Tanya? And that is LaTanya Randolph. She is my assistant.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, Mark Chapoulis, Deputy Commissioner of Fleet Operations. Currently with police vehicles right now, we have 387 that were down as of yesterday out of 2,553 that are active in the frontline roles. Out of those, the 380 plus that are down, there are also 190 that are down for accidents. Okay, the accident repairs are pretty extensive in most cases. The newer vehicles require a lot more structural repairs, wiring, computers that have to be replaced. So their time frames are getting a little bit longer on repair times. So we're doing everything we can to try and turn them around as fast as possible. The ones we do have in house, they're triaged. The quick repairs, we're putting them up front so we can get those in, get them back out on the street as fast as we can.
And I don't know if this question, and you can provide this through the chair, is for, I guess, CPD or for you all. Based on the need, what I'm trying to get to is, based on the officers that we have, one, do we have the right number of vehicles, be they in service or if they're down? So if we got 100 cops and 100 cops need 100 vehicles, do we got 100 vehicles? So I want to know, do we have the right number of vehicles for our officers? First question. And then that second question is, based on what you're saying is down, do we ever keep, for lack of a better word, a reserve pool of cars just in case this goes down, or are we just SOL on that?
We do have a pool vehicle. We do have a reserve of pool vehicles. Unfortunately, the amount of downs, the age of vehicles, the replacements, we're short on pool vehicles as it is. So, not to mention that the police have a demand where they need their vehicles for special functions or right. Other additional needs, and we provide the pools as building or buildings.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Alderman Moore. Alderman Vasquez, followed by Alderman LaSpada.
Thank you, Chairman. I am really glad to be here for this meeting.
I just wanted to share my support. So when I first got elected, I think about a month or two in, we were getting calls because on a certain block in our neighborhood, all of the trees were getting decimated due to water main work. So as a new alder, I was having a slight little panic attack. I reached out to one of my colleagues, Alderman Gil Villegas, and he said, here's a phone number, call Julie up, she'll be able to help you out. And so I remember that phone call. And the level of speed with which things got addressed, like I think within the day, things kind of slowed down. We were able to have larger conversations about water main work that then led to legislation that we crafted, pardon me. All of that was because of your level of execution. So I am so much in support because you show in an exemplary manner what departments should do and how they address the bread and butter issues our neighbors care about the most. So I don't have any questions. I just wanted to let you know and let this committee know how much in support I am of your leadership. It's also glad to see more representation when we talk about different communities. And I look forward to your formal appointment. So thank you so much for coming back. Welcome back to the city.
Thank you, Alderman.
Thank you, Alderman Vasquez. Alderman LaSpada passes. Also want to recognize Alderman Mount of Hoppenworth. Do you have anything or just wanted to be recognized? Go ahead.
Hi. Hello. Hi, Commissioner. Hi. New Alder in Edgewater, Andersonville, and Uptown. Congratulations on your appointment.
Thank you.
Mayor for asking and for you for accepting this appointment. I'm curious to know, you left the city and then you worked in private.
I did.
And I was curious, what did you learn and what are you going to bring back to the city from your experience from stepping out?
I learned that I wanted to come back to the city as much as I enjoyed working in the private sector. I worked for a very well-known MBWBE engineering firm. It was nice to see how processes work on the other side. However, I felt my job was not done in public service, and I wanted to come back as a commissioner. So that's why I came back.
Well, judging on everyone's comments, really excited to work with you. I have a temporary shelter at the Broadway Armory, and I was really impressed to Alder Vasquez's point, the efficiency of AIS, of building things very quickly. And I just wanted to get your commitment that you're going to also use your position to ensure that all of our public facilities that are being used as temporary shelters right now are not only going to be maintained to where it was before, but possibly better, because it's not just in the 48th Ward that a park district is being used for shelter.
Yes, ma'am, you have that commitment from me.
Thank you so much, Commissioner. I'm excited to work with you, and I am very impressed with all of the departments that you're willing to work with, including how you're going to staff up, including how you're going to bring young people in and involve all the unions, because we need that to happen, not only in your department, but across the agencies. Thanks.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Mount of Hoppenworth. Any other questions? Okay. So I want to, number one, recognize Alderman Lopez for the purposes of quorum. He said that he liked you so much that he was not going to make a speech. So that's why he has left us for right now. But again, from the words that everyone has said, two things I found out. Number one, it wasn't Randy that got everything going. I see he's sitting in the back in the corner. It was actually you. So we're going to hold Randy's feet to the fire a little more, since you're going to be over there to help him with all the navigating the points of water. So we want to welcome Commissioner Connor. We'll call you Randy Connor today for joining with us today. Also, the members and team in the box that also help move the department forward. People talk about fleet and facilities management as something that, you know, it's happened, but imagine not having a vehicle, not having what you need, the things that you provide, all of the other departments as a support, their ability to be able to get their jobs done. So as I said, there are no unimportant departments in our city. And while it may not be at the top level that we talk about all the time, imagine not having one and seeing what type of position that we would be in. So again, welcome back. And you still have a little time if you choose not to accept this. But nonetheless, it seems like you're ready, eager to jump in. So with that, is there a motion to accept the appointment? Alderman Harris so moves. Moves do pass. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Any opposed? In the opinion of the chairs, the ayes have it. The motion passes and the appointment is approved. The matter will be reported out for the next regular city council meeting on March 20th. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim. Thank you.
All right, going back to our regular order. As I said, we're gonna hold on item number three. Item number four is an amendment to the municipal code. See, is the adoption of a proposed ordinance amending municipal code chapter 7-28 by adding new section 7-28445. Establishing a reward program for information leading to the conviction or finding of liability for illegal dumping. Any questions on the ordinance? Whose ordinance is it? It's mine. So I don't know if y'all recall, but about five, six years ago, we had this program, but it had a sunset on it. We came about this issue because we followed the procedure for a resident involved in reporting illegal dumping, coming to find out that the program has sunsetted. So again, this essentially will bring the program back as it was previously. The only difference is that it changed the responsibility from the commissioner of the Department of Environment, which no longer exists, and giving that authority to the commissioner of the Department of Streets and Sanitation. It's funded by a $20 fee imposed on all finders of liability that will help fund the reward component of the program. Again, those that are found liable, if the ward two prices the ticket and finds them liable, there's a $20 fee added on to every finding of liability. That money will be utilized to pay the rewards in this particular program. And again, it's sunsetted. We had it before. We're just bringing it back on the books. Go ahead, Alderman Dow.
There's no fund, active fund for this now.
There is not an active fund for this now. There is a, the $20 fee would act as the provision for the revenue to support the reward.
And what line item in the budget are you seeking to put this in streets and sand?
It will either be in streets and sand or administrative hearings. That I'll have to get back to you.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Any other questions? Alderman Dow has a motion passed. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Any opposed? In the opinion of the chairs, the ayes have it, and the matter will be reported out at our next city council meeting on March 20th. Item number five is the adoption of a proposed ordinance amending municipal code 2-112-010 by requiring the city council advice and consent for the appointment of the commissioner of public health. Alderman Lawson.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I put this in last meeting, and I know I have a number of co-sponsors. I think a lot of us were surprised that the commissioner of public health was not confirmed by the city council the same way as every other commissioner. I did a little research and saw there was a change made in 2021 where we made a lot of changes to what had been the Board of Health Commissioners. And the language about advice and consent of the city council was left out of what was put forward at that point. I'm assuming it's an oversight and that I think we should certainly be confirming every commissioner, especially for an important department like public health. No reflection on the current commissioner, the current process, or the mayor. I think they followed all the rules, but going forward, forward, we would have something that looks like it does for every other department. So ask for your support and happy to answer any questions. I know Law serves as well.
Thank you, Alderman Lawson. Any questions? Seeing none, is there a motion? So moved by Alderman LaSpada. Move to pass. All in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? In the opinion of the chairs, the ayes have it, and this matter will be reported out at our next city council meeting on March 20th. Item number six, I see the sponsor is not here, so we'll hold that in committee. We'll move to item number seven, which is a communication recommending a proposed ordinance considering a transfer of funds within the Fort Ford automatic and expense account and the Ward wage allowance account for year 2024. Any questions? So moved by Alderman Dowell. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Any opposed? It appears the chairs, ayes have it, and this matter will be reported out at our next city council meeting on March the 20th. Item number eight is, we have item number eight. We also have a substitute for item number eight. Is there a motion to accept the substitute? Alderman Harris moves to accept the substitute. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Any opposed? It appears the chairs, ayes have it. The substitute is now before us, which is an ordinance concerning recommending a proposed ordinance concerning the transfer of funds between the 26th Ward automatic expense account and the wage allowance account for year 2024. Are there any questions? Seeing none, is there a motion to move passage? So move by Alderman LaSpada. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Any opposed? In the opinion of the chairs, the ayes have it. This matter too will be reported out at our next city council meeting on March the 20th. There being no further business at this time before the committee, we'll take a motion to recess the committee until Wednesday, March 20th at 9:30 a.m. So move. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Any opposed? In opinion of the chairs, the ayes have it, and we will stand in recess until Wednesday, March 20th, 9:30 a.m.